Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Terror coming to a stadium or concert near you. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist. Well, you might think that that is an overstatement, terror coming to a stadium or concert near you, but I don't think you will after you listen to the whole show today. First of all, the FBI, I'm not the only one who's warning you about that. The FBI director, Christopher Wray, just warned before Congress that there are going to be jihadist attacks in the United States, similar to the Russian concert hall. And he's saying that there is a heightened terrorist threat. Now, of course, there is the danger of the boy who cried wolf, whether you want to think of that for the FBI director or me. I have been warning of terror attacks for a very long time, and there have in fact been some. Of course, most of them have been in Europe or in Africa or in India, but and not covered by the mainstream media. But they have been happening ever since or before 9/11. They are still happening. And so the FBI director was talking about an attack such as happened at the Russian concert hall in Moscow. And I'm also going to be telling you about some recent current threats. In fact, I'm recording this today on Sunday, June 9th, and there is a game being played in a stadium in Long Island, and there have been terror threats, a game of cricket, a competition, a tournament, big tournament. And there have been threats to attack that. Now, first, let me tell you what the FBI director said. He said that there is an increasing concern of a potential coordinated attack in the U.S. similar to the ISIS-K attack in March at a concert hall in Moscow. And now, of course, this was in conjunction with his asking for $11.3 billion for 2025, which is $661 million more than last year, but I don't really think that it's just to get him more money. Last year, he told Congress how the U.S. was already in a heightened threat environment, and since then, there have been threats from foreign terrorists that have risen to another level. And he talked about how they have disrupted multiple terrorist attacks. You don't hear about those either, of course. And since October 7th, the FBI has seen, quote, a rogues gallery, unquote, of foreign terrorist organizations calling for attacks on the U.S. and its allies. Now, and he said, quote, given those calls for action, our most immediate concern has been that individuals or small groups will draw a twisted inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks here at home. But now, on top of that, increasingly concerning is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, not unlike the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russian concert hall. And that attack killed 137 people, and it wounded 180. He also talked about the elevated threat to the Jewish community in the U.S., which was already high before October 7th, and as I'm sure you know, it's gotten A lot worse. He said he's asking for more money in part to be able to fill about 1,000 more positions to protect people from terrorism. And he said if he, you know, if they're not funded, then, quote, that's fewer tips and leads followed, fewer terrorist attacks detected. And that's a significant concern. Terrorism is our number one priority, and so on. I mean, I think they should give him the money. I mean, you know, that is the point. Terrorism is their number one priority. And so obviously, you know, this is serious. This is we've had a lull in America compared to how it was some years ago, you know, when there was the Boston Marathon attack and the Orlando attack and in California an attack. And so Americans have been wooed into into complacency. And Mark Twain said, denial ain't just a river in Egypt. And Americans, either they're complacent, they're in denial, and this is not a good time. So here are some of the ways that America is encouraging terrorists to attack. First of all, they give money to terrorist organizations. They have given over $11 million. We, taxpayer dollars, have been sent to the Taliban over 11 million since Biden surrendered in Afghanistan. Then Obama, through his nuclear deal, has been giving Iran over 150 billion. Now, Iran, as you know, is the biggest state sponsor of terrorism, and they have been certainly showing their power but with Hamas, with the Houthis, with Lebanon, with, you know, there are many terrorist organizations that Iran supports with our taxpayer dollars now, it's clear. Also, other ways that America, by America, I mean, I don't mean Americans, I mean our government, the White House, and people in Congress who agree with the White House. So also, they are not stopping the pro-Hamas protests on college campuses, off college campuses. You know, now that it's the summer, it's not so much on college campuses, but it's all over the place. These pro-Hamas protesters are not stopping their protests. And certainly, at least for the ones that are on campus, you know, one of the they should have been doing things to punish the people who are calling themselves pro-Hamas. Well, they started calling themselves pro-Palestine, pro-Palestinians, pro-Hamas, but really what that was a cover for what they really are, which is anti-Israel and anti-America. So students should have been punished by being expelled. Especially the students on visas, foreign visas, you know, from the Middle East, they should have been deported. Also, America is fueling the threat of terrorism, terror attacks, by not taking a stronger stance for Israel, behind Israel, standing up for Israel against Hamas. I mean, you know, Hamas is not just Israel's enemy, it's America's enemy. Terrorists are America's enemy. Our number one enemy. Also, America has been fueling the risk of terror attacks by catering to terrorists with you know, the way that they're handling this war, and as I was saying, giving them money. And they're also not stopping, the White House is not stopping schools from becoming madrasas. Our schools, from pre-kindergarten through graduate school, have become madrasas. Madrasas, as you probably know, are the names for schools in the Middle East who teach terrorists why they need to become terrorists, why their first, the biggest achievement that they could make in life is to help to destroy Israel and help kill Jews. And basically, that is what kids in America are being taught. And with allowing teachers who have these ideas to teach them. And And you know, it's gone all the way down to pre-K and all the way up to graduate schools. And this is creating an army of terrorists like madrasas do in the Middle East. I mean, why this is like so obvious. It just boggles my mind that well, I mean, I was gonna say it boggles my mind that people don't see it and don't stop it. I mean, people see it. You know, the Obama Biden White House sees it, and but this is what they want. Because then that comes to my next thing. Obama was taught in these madrasas, and you know, whatever you learn, the earlier you learn something, the more it sticks with you. And he really consciously or unconsciously, I'll give him a benefit. I'll give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's unconscious, whatever. He has done everything to support terrorists. From the time when he was president, of course, and even now through being the puppeteer of Biden. Let's see. Also, they have been encouraging Americans to be in denial of the risk of terror attacks, especially because this is the run up to the election. So, of course, Biden doesn't want us to think that we are in danger of terrorism because our terror attacks, because that would then blame him for not doing better to protect us. You know, I today, as I was preparing for this podcast and reading tons of articles and news and all of that, you know, it occurred to me that I think that the only way, and I hate to say this, but I think the only way these people, these faux Palestinians and faux Hamas, you know, protesters, I think the only way they're going to wake up and realize, uh-oh, maybe this isn't a good idea, is when there is a terror attack on America. And they're going to have to ask themselves, am I really pro Hamas? You know, whether it's Hamas who attacks America first, or Al Qaeda or ISIS. You know, or the Taliban, it doesn't matter which group of terrorists, but I think that's what it's going to take, because they are so blinded. They're so, you know, I did a podcast previously. If you haven't listened to it before, I recommend it. I called it terrorist envy, and that's what these protesters have. It's kind of like Freud's penis envy, what has to do with power, envying of a penis, or that it's a representation of power, or the terrorists who are in fact showing their power more, you know, more blatantly than before. So let me tell you some of the things, the actual threats. Now that I've, you know, alerted you to the fact that this is really something serious, I will back it up. Okay, ISIS. ISIS has, you know, they are communicating with each other and recruiting lone wolves every single minute of the day, every day, all over the world, including in America. And they are having success, particularly, I mean, you know, especially with these college protesters, you know, and the penis envy or terrorist envy. You know, it doesn't take much to get them to join one of these terrorist groups. So ISIS has been putting out on you know, online. They've been saying ISIS has been saying ISIS will drink Americans' blood, and they in and making promises to attack. So a twisted message from the ISIS terror group told American citizens, quote, "We love death more than you love your worthless lives." So they have they have these, you know, they put out these things on these messaging apps, and they have been trying to get people to attack the T20 Men's World Cup. That is the tournament that I was mentioning, which is currently being played today in a stadium on Long Island. And they have been on these messaging channels. They've been warning of attacks at major sporting events this summer, including the T20 World Cup, the cricket tournament, and of course the Paris Olympics. Paris Olympics is like a neon light, just begging terrorists to attack, because you know the terrorists have attacked, well, are attacking France, someplace in France every day. But of course, Paris and the Olympics, with the world being there, that is their number one. They have been plotting and planning to attack the Paris Olympics for probably since it was announced that Paris was going to have the 2024 Olympics. So ISIS wrote this message. They called it an open letter to Americans, and they blame Americans for failing to, quote, stop your filthy leadership shedding the blood of Muslims in Palestine, Syria, and elsewhere. And also warns us, quote, nothing is tastier to us than drinking your blood to quench our avenging thirst. Now, does that sound like somebody who's kidding? So they, here, I'll read the whole open letter. And they're saying that Americans should take the threat seriously because ISIS, well, here, an open letter to Americans. Oh, infidels. Now, remember, they're not just out to kill Jews. They're out to kill, excuse me, anybody who doesn't believe. One second, I'll take some water. They're out to kill anybody who doesn't believe in radical Islam. So they're saying, oh, infidels, that's Christians, that's, you know, anybody who isn't a radical Islamist. You have failed to stop your filthy leadership from shedding the blood of Muslims in Palestine, Syria, and elsewhere. Your worthless leaders have reiterated from time to time that the bloodbath ongoing in Gaza is not a genocide, and they openly, shamelessly support it with no regret. Yeah, well, I'd like them to support it a little more, but we see this is what they're doing, and this is very important, and I'll tell you more about it later. But this son of one of the Hamas leaders, Musab Hassan Youssef, I've talked about him before in podcasts. He is telling it like it is. He is coming out. You know, if you can't believe the son of Hamas leader, who are you going to believe? And he talks about how the terrorists are using the war that Hamas started in Israel, the horrendous attack, as a way to as propaganda, you know, to try to get people on board, to try to get people not just to stand with placards saying we support Hamas, but to actually join Hamas or join any of the terrorist organizations. Okay, so let's see. So hear us out. Nothing is more tastier, they should learn English. Nothing is more tastier to us than drinking your blood to quench our avenging thirst. Indeed, your blood in our eyes is much worse than the blood of a rabid dog. Thus, we will spare no one and bring the wrath on you by our own hands. For you know very well we are people of action and not mere words. We love death more than you love your worthless lives. Our martyrdom seekers live amongst you, like silent hunters waiting to pounce on you when you are most gullible and foolish. So wherever you are, your common folk and your forces, alone or in gathering, will be our target. For indeed, we wish to send you to hell in great numbers, which you will never be able to comprehend. And that is true. And then they listed a number of major events that they want to attack. But this is really true, because Americans or people in general don't realize how, you know, they want their rewards in the afterlife. And you only get that by being a martyr, and by which means jihad, killing the infidels. Let's see. So Sunday, today, in the Nassau County International Cricket Stadium, there is this one leg of the tournament. It's an 11-week tournament, and there are different matches in different countries, and eight of them are going to be on Long Island in this cricket stadium. And so also an encrypted pro-ISIS messaging. Groups urged lone wolves to target them all. And they had propaganda videos and pictures showing masked terrorists and explosions at the venue where the game will take place. Like, in case you can't read, they're showing you in pictures where to attack. Yes, they're trying to weaponize the conflict in the Middle East. They're trying to use that as a way to get more people on their team. So in this sense, quote, who am I quoting? Let's see. Oh, well, ISIS. So in this sense, yes, of course, the conflict between Israel and Palestine is going to be a very powerful tool to capitalize on when it comes to radicalization of people. So there's also the threat of, in Britain, anywhere really, there's the threat of using drone attacks on sporting events, because you know that will not be easy to deter. All right, I will. There's so much I want to tell you about. Let's see. So this is ISIS. I'm going to go through Al Qaeda and the Taliban as well. You know, I was starting to say, because we're in denial and complacent and all of that, we're not alert to the fact that these organizations, these terror groups, have not gone away with their tail between their legs. They are still very actively working on plans and recruiting and all of that. They have not disappeared, because remember, the aim is world jihad, global jihad, to take over the world. So they're not going anywhere. All right. Well, stay tuned. When we come back, I will tell you more about what these other terrorist groups plan to do. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm your terrorist therapist, Dr. Carol Lieberman, and we're talking today about terror coming to a stadium or concert near you. Now, I've already talked about what ISIS is up to. And, you know, the point is that we are in more danger now than we were at 9/11. And all the terrorist groups, you know, have they've had some losses. You know, we have killed some of their leaders and so on. But they multiply like rabbits. Yes, a very non-PC statement. But in any case, I don't necessarily just mean the people. I mean the recruits. And as I was saying before, the October 7th horrendous, horrendous, barbaric attack by Hamas on Israel really excited and emboldened these other terrorists, all the groups. So I was telling you in the first segment about ISIS recruiting people to attack the T20 World Cup in New York City, which is happening today. And there, some of the pictures that they have on their message boards and so on to try to attract terrorists to join ISIS to make these attacks. For example, there's one with an ISIS fighter and carrying a rifle, looking forward to attacking these different places. And then there's a picture of a bomb, I guess that is, and the names T20 Men's World Cup, West Indies and USA 2024. And then there's another one with fire and the ISIS symbol. So they are very, so let me just tell you a little bit more about ISIS, and then I'm going to get to Al Qaeda and the Taliban. So there are some more pictures on the web, message boards and so on. There's a picture of an ISIS fighter, and the words say, you wait for the matches, and we wait for you. Okay, so today there is this game between India and Pakistan in a stadium on Long Island, And they're also being going to be held in the Caribbean and so on in various places, and but eight of them are going to be on Long Island. And so in their posts, they said things like, quote, prepare your weapon, devise your plan, and then lure them in. And that was about targeting sporting events. And they also mentioned other events besides the cricket at the T20, and they mentioned Real Madrid and the Champions League and Borussia Dortmund, and then of course the Olympic Games. Then, oh yes, and showing drones above the stadium and a stick of dynamite alongside a ticking clock. Not subtle. And the people in New York are saying, you know, there's a ton of security, of course, but they're admitting that they can't seal off every possible way that the terrorists could attack. And so basically, the bottom line is this is a very high-risk summer. There are a number of high-profile events happening, from the European Football Championships to the Olympics and so on. But it's not just stadiums. It's not just sporting events. First of all, the Olympics are going to be from the end of July to August 11th. And ISIS is really, you know, licking its lips at that. And they showed one of their pictures is a faceless person operating a drone carrying a package marked gift, and it's heading towards the Eiffel Tower. Again, they have to make sure that they can reach all the people who are going to potentially join them to become ISIS terrorists, and not all of them, you know, are they're not all the brightest bulbs in the shed. So they have to make it very clear and very stimulating, exciting. Then there is another, they write, Lone Wolves Olympics have begun with the will of Allah. Then the Lone Wolves qualifiers have begun, God willing. So they have been calling for, I mean, they always call for lone wolves. But you know, I did a podcast re fairly recently. You can still find it, about Ramadan, and I was predicting that there were going to be attacks by terrorists during Ramadan, because in Ramadan, that is when if you kill an unbeliever, you get rewarded in a greater amount in paradise when you die. So they have been calling for lone wolves during Ramadan, and you know, there were, of course, that's when the Moscow attack happened and so on. So now let's look at Al Qaeda. Al Qaeda is not dead. It is regrouping in Afghanistan and elsewhere. So of course, you know, you don't hear about these things. You don't hear about these things in the mainstream media. So you might think Al Qaeda and ISIS are dead, as well as the Taliban, but they are not. These Al Qaeda, remember them, they're the folks who brought us 9/11. They are also in a better position now. They've been, you know, stocking up with recruits and so on, and they're in a better position to make a comeback. And they have set up military training facilities with activities appearing to resemble the group's presence in Afghanistan before the 9/11 attacks. So they're gathering their forces. And they're regrouping in Afghanistan and elsewhere. And so, you know, what's so interesting, and they're quoting Osama bin Laden in calls for attacks against America, you know, that he called for before 9/11. So, and then the Taliban. So the Taliban, as I mentioned at the very beginning, they are receiving money from us, the American taxpayer. You, basically you, if well, I know people listen to this podcast from all over, but if you are American, you are funding terrorism, okay? They have sent over $11 million just since the surrender, the horrible surrender. And let's see, that was in 2021. And also, in addition to that, the US gives them 2.8 billion in humanitarian and development assistance to help the people of Afghanistan. However, just like the aid that we tried to give to the Palestinians, it gets taken by Hamas, the aid that we try to give to the people of Afghanistan gets taken by the Taliban. I mean, like, duh, really, this is not brain surgery. I mean, that's the point actually that I was trying to make before, that it's not that the White House doesn't know this, it's that they are supporting this. I know that sounds crazy. Why would anyone support terrorism, right? When they're going to be attacking us. Okay, let's see. And there are things going around all over the, well, in Europe in particular, you know, Americans, again, this is not, you're not going to hear this in the mainstream media, but as I said, there are attacks going on in Europe all the time. And for example, in Austria, Muslim, here the title of this story is Muslims shared execution videos, set up their own mosque with ISIS flag, called for killing of non-Muslims. So, you know, they're doing all of these things. Of course, that's kind of the problem I mean, Europe is flooded with migrants from radical Islamist countries. Let's see. There's also stories about, well, of course, you know, the thing is, as I was talking about, take back the campus. We have to do things. You know, people can't think that because schools are closed for the summer, that there are going to be no more protests, because it's not just students. In fact, a lot of the protesters, as you probably know by now, were paid agitators, paid by Soros and the Rockefeller Organization, and funded through organizations that distribute the money to try to hide who the money for the terrorists really is coming from. So these agitators, these paid agitators, are not going away. You know, they want to keep collecting money. So this whole protest situation is not going to be going away. Well, all right. I think I'm going to stop here because in the next segment, I'm going to talk to you about some other interesting terrorist stories. And then I'm going to tell you about something that the German chancellor is doing, and I think we should follow in the same way. I'm not saying I agree with everything that the German chancellor recommends, but in this particular instance, I think that we can learn from that him in as far as something to do to try to protect from terrorists. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm your terrorist therapist, Dr. Carol Lieberman. And we're talking today about terror coming to a stadium or concert near you. I'm not really trying to, some of you might be wondering, why am I trying to scare you? Well, I hope by now you see that I'm not just trying to scare you recklessly, that there really are these serious threats, and we kind of need to know about them. You know, every time something happens there, that could be a terror attack, the authorities in that country or city are the last to admit that it is a terrorist attack. Sometimes they never admit that it was a terror attack. You have to really keep digging after that, which I do. So I was talking about the status of all the three main terrorist groups, ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and what they are planning and plotting. I wanted to, and I had mentioned, I just want to add something to what I had mentioned before. I was talking about how we provide aid for the, or we try to provide aid for the people in Palestine, but the so-called Palestinians, but Hamas takes the aid. And just like in Afghanistan, the Taliban takes the aid, the money that we give for the aid. It doesn't go to the poor people. It goes to finance the attacks, terror attacks by the Taliban. So here's another example of that kind of thing. The United Nations, first of all, is very, very anti-Israel and very pro. I know this sounds terrible, but they're very questionable. They have become very questionable. They have been very questionable, but it is becoming more obvious how questionable they are by some of the things that have been going on in Gaza. And so, for example, in other words, some of the people who work for the United Nations in Gaza are not the best, are terrorists. So there's a story now about how a United Nations aid worker or workers in Gaza are making women trade sex for food. So here we send, and other countries send aid, money or aid in various forms to Gaza. And these United Nations aid workers are either stealing it for themselves or making women trade sex for food. Now, there's a new idea. So it's really very sick and very, their young girls are being raped and married off to older men in the camps. And some Gaza women prefer to go without food rather than stand in line together with the men for food because they know they'll be sexually harassed or raped, and so on. So these are the kinds of things that are going on. And it is fueled by their training in these madrasas from the time they're toddlers, and making it a religious, make you will be loved by God, by Allah, if you destroy Israel and kill Jews and kill the infidels. Not those Israel and Jews are just first. They're the canaries in the coal mine, but it is everybody who is an unbeliever. Now, I was talking before about the college campuses, and we all know about the protests and how horrible they've been and all of that. But something that I hadn't thought about before, and I have never heard anything about it. But you know how kids always look up to, by kids, I mean, I'm talking now about like anybody before the age of college, okay? However old you are, when you're 3 years old, you look up to a 6-year-old. When you're 10 years old, you look up to a 13-year-old, that kind of thing. So these kids have been watching television and seeing what's been happening, or walking by the college campuses for that matter, and seeing what's happening. So what do you think? It's not just terrorist envy. They want to be these cool college kids, right? And this is what cool college kids are doing. They're protesting against Israel and against America. So what do you think is going to happen? Kids younger than these college kids are going to want to do the same thing. So there's a story. What made me start thinking about this is there's a story in Massachusetts about a child who let's see, he's about how old? He looks about 10 years old. And he is, it's a video, and he is expressing his desire to become a martyr. And so someone's asking him, you know, he must have said, and now, well, he's holding a Palestinian like bandana, and he's yelling, I want to be a Shaheed. A Shaheed is a martyr, a murderer who dies while murdering innocent people. And so he keeps yelling, I want to be a Shaheed. And then this woman asks, you want to be a Shaheed? Yes, I want to be a Shaheed. And he says it in a very angry voice. And so, you know, he's not, I'm sure he is not the only child, 10-year-old child in America who is thinking that that is cool. Yeah. And wearing the headbands like the college kids were doing, a lot of them in these encampments were wearing the headbands that represented Palestine. I'm sure there are a lot more of him. And this is Massachusetts has become, Massachusetts has really declined, shall we say. Okay, so I wanted to tell you also before I get to the German Chancellor, I want to again remind you about Mossab Hassan Youssef, the son of a Hamas founder who is speaking the truth, who is speaking out. Now he left Hamas and he became a well, I'm trying to think of the way, like a spy basically, for Israel. But before he did that, I mean, he already knew, being the son of the founder, he knows about Hamas. And he was trying to warn people early on. I remember right after October 7th, he was trying to tell people what I've been telling people. But of course, you know, you should believe him before you believe me. But he's been saying that Hamas terrorists want global jihad. It is not just about Israel. They want to infiltrate America. They want Sharia law over the world. That is Islamic law, and they want to have the whole world convert to Sharia law. And Sharia law, is not something you would want. First of all, especially it's horrible towards women. It gives men the right to rape women, to like if you particularly, well, in general, but like if it's your wife, you know, and she's not listening to you, you can do whatever you want to her, you know, beat her up, kill her, do anything. But it's not just about women, you know, it's all kinds of really cruel. I mean, same thing with gays. They kill gays, so you know, which is so ironic because queers for Hamas or queers for Palestine. Really, if you went there, you'd be dead. You'd be thrown off of a rooftop. Okay, so now last but not least, I'm going to talk about the German Chancellor. His name is Olaf Scholz, and he was addressing the House of Parliament and about security issues. This was on June 6th. And he said, let's declare war to terror. What an original idea. And he is talking about deportations for terrorists, not just terrorists, but supporters of terrorists. Now, I mean, that's the thing that we need to do as well. Of course, you would deport or imprison or deport terrorists, real terrorists, but those who are their supporters, like carrying, you know, banners saying pro-Hamas, pro, you know, we're for Hamas, or all these different kinds of banners. That would be something worth either deporting or putting in jail or arresting at least. And yes, I know some of these people have been arrested, but not enough. Anyhow, what provoked this German chancellor to make this speech and to take a harsher stand on terrorists and their supporters is two reasons. One, well, and he has vowed to enact tougher measures to deport criminals, terrorists, and terror supporters. And so one of the reasons why this happened now is because a 25-year-old Afghan man committed a fatal stabbing just recently, last week. There have been this of a police officer. He was a 25-year-old Afghan man who arrived in Germany in 2014. He stabbed a number of people and struck a police officer in the back of the head. The chancellor said, quote, "It outrages me when someone who has sought protection here commits the most serious crimes. Such criminals should be deported, even if they come from Syria and Afghanistan." Now, the reason why he said specifically Syria and Afghanistan is because up to now, they had a rule where they didn't deport people back to Afghanistan or Syria because of the harsh political conditions there and oppressive leadership and so on. Afghanistan, run by the Taliban, and Syria, led by Bashar al-Assad, who is an Iran-backed leader who's been accused of mass war crimes during the country's civil war. They made an exception for those two countries, but now he's saying he doesn't want to make an exception for them. And let me remind you that Biden imported 80,000 Afghans when he surrendered to the Taliban and ended and took out American troops. He took out these Afghans, supposedly because some of them at least did help the American troops. They were as translators and so on. But it was chaos there, as you probably saw, in the videos. And certainly not all 80,000 Afghans were vetted sufficiently to weed out all the terrorists amongst them. So I'm just bringing that up because, as an example, this particular incident had to do with a 25-year-old Afghan. And let's see. And now they're also calling for supporters of Hamas. These people who have come out in Germany too, I mean, they've come out all over in the UK and France, where all over the world. These people came out like where did they come from? And so he's saying, and I agree with this, that the supporters should be deported or as I said, or put in jail, arrested as well. He said, "The time of warnings and condemnations, of denials and announcements, that time is now over. People expect us to act. They expect decisions." Now, of course, what's interesting is there is an election going on today. Also, lots of things going on today having to do with terrorism, because the European Union, the European Parliament, there are elections, and so far the results seem to be, I mean, they haven't finished counting the ballots yet, but it seems like people in Europe have finally gotten fed up with all of these terrorists migrating to Europe and not taking on the customs of the country that they go to, but rather insisting upon continuing their customs and terrorizing the people in these various countries. I mean, it is all over. Even in Sweden, we saw recently with the Song Festival, that there were all these protests. It's amazing that there wasn't a real attack, but there were people in the street. It was awful. So there is a belief now that some of the people who are going to be elected in Europe are going to be ones whose position, whose statements, or who stand for deporting these migrants from radical Islamist countries. And of course, Germany was the worst. They were the ones from the beginning who imported the most radical Islamist migrants, and they now perhaps have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, problem with them because there are so many. In fact, they're calling the, these migrants are calling for a caliphate in Germany. In other words, a separate body that would rule, you know, so that they wouldn't even have to listen to the German chancellor. In any case, we need to remember these things. I'm not trying to tell you this so that you go to your bed and hide under the covers, but rather so that you pay attention and that, especially with our election coming up in November, we need to pick the candidates, whether it's for president or for Congress or for your local government. We need to have people who are going to take a strong stand, who recognize, first of all, that there is a terrorist threat and that it is higher than ever, than even before 9/11. And so that would be a start. So thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Kara Lieberman, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number four, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.